The town of Castleton, North Dakota, continues its recovery from yesterday's massive explosion after a mile-long train operated by BNSF Railway Company derailed and sent a huge fireball into the air. The train was carrying crude oil from North Dakota's Bakken Shale Patch. No one was hurt, but blasts shook homes and businesses up to 18 hours after the incident, and the initial fire burned so intensely, investigators couldn't get close enough to count the number of burning cars. All of this recalls the terrible explosion in Quebec last summer that killed 47 people. That train, which derailed, was also carrying North Dakotan oil. Castleton Mayor Ed McConnell has now said that, quote, it's time to have a conversation with federal lawmakers about the dangers of transporting oil by rail. Well, for a little bit more of insight into the rail industry in North Dakota, let's turn to Alan Dibing. He's a research fellow at the Upper Great Plains Transportation Institute, which is part of North Dakota State University. Alan, welcome to the program.
Good morning.
So first of all, tell us a little bit more about the company BNSF Railway. What do they usually transport around North Dakota? How large of a company is this for the state?
Well, the BNSF is a very large a railroad company, and you know, prior to the Bakken development in western North Dakota, you know, mainly out of North Dakota is primarily grain and or coal. Shipments that came from North Dakota. And most of the east-west routes carry a lot of intermodal containers as well through from Seattle to Chicago and so forth.
Okay, so coal was a big thing, but now because of the huge growth in the oil industry in North Dakota, they're carrying a lot of crude oil. I mean, I see that something like 800,000 barrels per day by the end of 2013 were being carried by rail out of North Dakota. That's up tenfold since August of 2011. So have the rail companies, BNSF, had the time to cope and make changes to their rail system to deal with the huge boom in oil transport?
Well, I guess I can't directly speak to that, but I would assume in terms of the Burlington Northern or BNSF Railway that they're, you know, they don't want to have derailment. So they're looking for the additional traffic and the additional maintenance that goes along with that. Same thing applies for highways. You have additional traffic, you have additional maintenance that goes along with that. So, you know, I can't personally speak to what the BNSF Railway is doing, but I would assume that they are increasing their maintenance activities to cope with the traffic.
All right, so let's talk a little bit more generally about the actual rail stock, because there's a lot of interesting reporting around that. That, for example, fracking is one of the techniques that's used to extract the oil from the Bakken oil patch, and the United States Railway Administration has said that it's found increasing cases of damage to the interior of tanker cars, that they may be getting corroded by the hydrochloric acid that's used in the fracking process. What do you know about that? Is the U.S. government right to be concerned about the integrity of the cars themselves?
Well, I guess I personally couldn't speak to the content of the oil and the fracking process itself. My background is in transportation primarily, so I couldn't directly speak to that issue.
Okay, well, tell me then what's your biggest concern? Because we just had yesterday this massive explosion that thankfully no one was killed, but you know, a lot of this oil is moving through rail lines. So, as a transportation expert, What are you thinking about? What are you concerned about?
Well, of course, you know, if you have increased traffic and you have increased rail incidents associated with the traffic, that will, you know, theoretically cause an increase in the number of incidents that would happen as well. And one of the advantages you could see of rail is that most of the track miles are away from populated areas, and especially in North Dakota, for example. There's very few track miles that are by cities. So if a derailment would occur in those areas, then, you know, the main impact would be environmental at that point rather than to the actual population. However, if you have a derailment of a train full of wheat, as an example, that tips over, then you've just got happy wildlife at that point because they've got a city source of feed. But when you have an oil derailment, you have additional response that is required, both environmental and for public safety. So the main concern, and the main concern is, of course, with the emergency response. And in North Dakota, going back in history a little bit, about 10 years ago, there was a train derailment full of anhydrous ammonia in Minot, North Dakota, mm-hmm. where they unleashed a cloud of anhydrous ammonia, which is highly toxic to humans. And as a result of that, most of the cities in North Dakota have put in place a emergency response plan. And that's the primary thing there. But I guess continuing on that path there, each mode, you know, whether it's by truck, by rail, or by pipeline, has its own pros and cons, I guess you could say, associated with them.
Right.
Since rail is mostly located in rural areas, the possibility of contact with humans is relatively low. Trucks,
except if I may, I totally take your point that most of the track miles are in rural areas, but there are places where it goes right through the center of towns.
Sure, I agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah, let me just ask you.
Well,
go ahead.
Well, I guess my thought there, too, is then you have reduced speeds through most of the urban areas along the line. And, you know, the causes for derailments, and I won't speculate what happened by Castleton there, the causes of derailments are multiple, anywhere from rail failure to track failure to failure of the equipment itself. But as speed decreases, the possibility of a major derailment where the train actually overturns or something like that decreases quite a bit. You know, can simply hop the rails at that point in urban areas.
Hmm. Well, I'm seeing here that the NTSB is estimating that 69% of today's rail tank car fleet has, quote, a high incidence of tank failure during accidents, but we should also note that over 99% of rail freight reaches its destination safely. But at the same time, about 90% of North Dakota's oil is eventually going to be moved by train. So, in the last 5 seconds or so, do you have confidence in the ability of oil to be moved over rail lines?
Well, yes, I do. There's pros and cons for every mode, and rail is generally safe.
Well, Alan Dibing is a research fellow with the Upper Great Plains Transportation Institute. Thank you so much. You're listening to Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink technical computing software, accelerating the pace of discovery in engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.